Welcome to Food Farms and Chefs Radio Show, where we highlight everyone from the top industry leaders to startups and farmers that make it all possible with photojournalist Amaris Pollock.
Hi, and welcome back to Food Farms and Chefs. And I have another one of the Fearless Restaurant gems because I love Fearless Restaurants and I know all of you do too. But the GM for Rusley and Wayne is on with me, Tracy Gold. So Tracy, welcome to Food Farms and Chefs.
Yeah, glad to be here.
I don't know if you had an opportunity to listen to any of my previous shows, but I love hearing a little bit about you and how you got into the culinary industry and what you do for your role within the company.
Okay, so fair question. I, like a lot of people, got into the industry to pay my way through college. I went to Tyler School of Art, which was Temple's art school that had nothing to do with the culinary industry. I became a jeweler, metalsmith. I worked on Sansom Street, but I was not making that much money. And so all through the 90s, there was a lot of exciting things happening in the restaurant industry. I think when I first got into the business, it was more through cocktail waitressing and the bar and this whole thing that happened on Delaware Avenue every summer, pop-ups like Kathmandu and Rock Lobster. So I worked there and I met the most amazing people, and it was like summer camp every year. And some of the people that I worked with back in the 90s at Rock Lobster, Kathmandu are still some of my very best friends in the world. And then Stephen Starr had opened up the original Continental in 1995, and I was the first bartender he hired. I had that front bar. This was the one in Old City, and there would be lines wrapped around the corner. And he just really revolutionized that you could go to a bar that was exciting and have really great food. So he just kind of did it both. And so that was really exciting. I made a lot of money and I got that trapped. I got bitten by the bug. And so even though I've kind of had this professional career, I never really was quite able to leave the restaurant business. And then I eventually got married, had some kids, did my stay-at-home mom thing, but I always got sucked back into the industry. And I came to Fearless Restaurants eventually to just be a key and a floor manager. I've been a bartender. I've run the front door and been the host and just kept getting opportunities and opportunities and opportunities. And eventually I really wanted to work at Rosalie, and I got the opportunity to work here, helped open the place, and they've moved me around a bit. That's the exciting thing about Fearless is you definitely get to work in a lot of different venues. So we have White Dog Cafe and Autograph and Louie Louie and the Mouchaloo. And sometimes they're just sending you to other places because there might be a hole to fill. And that's always a great growth opportunity in this company. And there have been times where I haven't necessarily like wanted to go, but there has always been a benefit and an opportunity to grow and learn by going to another property. And it's kind of like you get to meet other managers. And then when emails pop up, you know, with their names on it, like, you know them, you know these people. Or someone's on vacation and you get the opportunity to fill in another property. It's just fun.
Yeah.
So here I am at Rosalie. And I'm the GM.
And you mentioned several of the other Fearless Restaurant Group locations. And of course, I've been to several of the other Fearless locations just because I love them as well. And I know that people who aren't seeing this can't see the beauty behind you of Rosalie, but Rosalie, Louie Louie, Mouchaloo, all of them, the atmosphere and the environment that they create, that the Grimms create, is just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. And they have their hands very tied to every minute detail. But the backdrop, it looks like you're in the event space, one of the event space, correct?
Yep.
So why not talk a little bit about the event space since you're already in there and what events they have going on and opportunities that they have available for anybody who's out there looking to either get married or have graduation parties or have a celebration for somebody's birthday. So what are some of the events that people can host there and that you might have coming up?
Well, I can definitely speak to events. First, I just wanted to add to what you said about the Grimms that everything is just done so well. And I appreciate that about the company. When they take on a project, they don't just put on a new coat of paint and redecorate. They really get in and make this reinvent the space, make it look beautiful, and it's everything is super quality. So right off the bat, it's a pleasure to be the manager of such a beautiful space because this space sells itself. And so at Rosalie, the hotel, it's at the Wayne Hotel, which is a historic property, and it was built in 1906. And then in 1985, Steve Bages purchased it and redid the hotel. And so there's a long-standing restaurant in the hotel that has had many, many, many iterations. And so it was the last two, it was Taquet, which was a French restaurant, and then it was Paramore, which is also a French restaurant. So when the Grimms took it over, they wanted to make it something that was completely different and also more approachable because the French restaurants were just like, and the atmosphere lends itself to just special occasions. So Rosalie with the Italian cuisine can just be, of course, we still do a lot of special occasions, but you can come here and have a pizza at the bar. And so it's a neighborhood gem. So when people come in to tour the restaurant for events, it's remarkably beautiful just by its architecture alone. And then they created something that has a very rustic look. So the main dining room is beautiful and it's mostly red with some red furniture and hardwood parquet floors. And it has this round bay window, the old windows, and beautiful moldings. And then at night, when the lights go down, it's super romantic. And in the daytime, it's just very pretty. So we really have become a niche for us is this baby shower, bridal shower, rehearsal dinner. It's become something you can really count on, and it sells itself because the people come in and they're like, oh, you know what? I want to have my bridal shower there. And we have this beautiful lobby, and the way that it's decorated is like a very boutique hotel, something that you would see if you're on vacation anywhere. And so it lends itself so easily for a cocktail party, a surprise birthday party, or it's been kind of hip to have the baby shower, bridal shower that is more like a cocktail party and have men, like the guys and the girls, and everyone's taking selfies in the lobby. And it's just this really nice contemporary space. So the lobby, Barbara Belange designed it, and she used this like large, large floral pattern. So it's just unique and it's quite lovely. And then guests, you can also, it's a functioning hotel, so you can stay in the hotel. I think it has 40 rooms, but we just lease the space from the Wayne Hotel. And we also have a beautiful portico because it's a Victorian style Tudor. So it has this long porch. And in the hotel lobby, we have a private dining room that seats about 20. The main dining room seats 30, I'm sorry, 60. And then the piccolo seats 30. And then there's a bar area. So, over 200 seats.
And I drive by Rosalie all the time, and just from the exterior, it makes you want to go in. It's so beautiful from the exterior. The interior is equally gorgeous. So it's always spot on the way that thing, the atmosphere and the vibe of everything that they want to exude from how they decorate.
Yeah,
But
it's
reflect,
carefully thought out for sure.
it is. But reflective of the atmosphere, it's also the menu. And I know that the new spring menu changed over. So let's talk a little bit about the new menu and what some of your favorite dishes are on it.
Sure. So the menu at all of our properties kind of harkens back to the White Daws farm to table. So everything is fresh. So when we get produce from the purveyors, we're in season. So we change our setups a lot. So it's in the summertime, it's corn and tomatoes, and then there's the seasons of squashes and a lot of the times it's the setup that changes the most. So and it keeps the menu exciting, it keeps it fresh. Every once in a while, you just have someone like pitchforks, and they are like, "Why did you change? That was my favorite. I came for." It's like, but hold on, try something new, and then you can have a new favorite. So there are some things that never go off the menu, like the gnocchi and the casnicelli, which are two beautiful pasta dishes. So at Rosalie, we make all of our own pastas, And we actually make pastas for all the other restaurants now. So it started off with a little pasta kitchen in the back and one pasta person, two pasta people, and now it's the pasta commissary. So it is amazing and fun to watch. And I get to experience it every day because outside of my office usually smells like baked potatoes. And they're like baking the potatoes down. They scrape out the inside, ricing the potato and making the dough and piping out the gnocchi and chopping it up and preparing it. And so it feels very authentic. And it's nice to walk around and you greet all the tables. And the guests are just going crazy for the pasta, and you can really talk about the experience because it's a labor of love. They fill these little dumplings, little raviolis with veal and golden raisins, and top it off with some amaretto cookie, and it's just a delight. So, of course, my favorite things are the pasta. Then we have a really amazing pizza, which is a personal pizza. It's about 10 inches. So you can definitely have one for dinner or you can share it. And those change every season. So, like, sometimes we have a potato pizza. And then sometimes it's like there might be a meat. We always have the margarita pizza. So that doesn't change. Some fan favorites. And I guess for me, when people ask me what my favorite dish is, I always say the branzino because it's done, it's cooked perfectly every time. And it's grilled, but they do it over very, very hot coals. So it gets super crispy skin. It's perfectly cooked. And the setup is just an eggplant caponade with crushed olives. And it's very kind of Italian Mediterranean style. And it's just very clean. So I like to eat that. And the salads are great. We've got the best burrata around. I don't know. It's just very exciting. The menu, it sells itself. I say to my staff, the only thing you have to do is just like take orders, sell the menu because the guests are always happy with the food.
Of course. And I mean, as somebody who loves seafood, I would be one of the ones that would order the your favorite dish. Yeah. And you named something else that I absolutely love, which is burrata. I don't know anybody who doesn't love burrata cheese.
That changes all the time. And right now it's with some beets. So this season, our Lioni burrata, it accompanies with a marinated red and gold beets, erfa, balsamic, basil, and beet chips. It's really delicious.
Now, you had mentioned pizza at the bar earlier, and I don't know if that was before we hopped on or not, but having personalized pizza at the bar, let's mention happy hour. And what kind of happy hour specials do you guys have?
So right now, the happy hour, we have six different items off of the menu, and they're just priced according for happy hour. So,
Yeah.
and then the pizzas are $12, and I have some drinks that are $8 and some draft beers that are $6. But we really do that. That's nice for the neighborhood because Rosalie still is a local yokel, and it belongs to the town of Wayne. It doesn't really belong to Fearless Restaurants because I have guests that sit at the bar and they'll tell me how many years they've sat there. And often I have people that come in for their anniversary and they'll say, well, we got married here 40 years ago and we've been coming here for our anniversary every year. So I really respect the fact that we're just borrowing the space right now. And Rosalie kind of has the Wayne Hotel is a life of its own. And so I have a lot of neighborhood people that just come and they come for happy hour. Every week, they enjoy themselves and they can get their favorite pizza or their favorite pasta. And it's just nice that it is such a staple to the town, to the neighborhood.
It is. And speaking of staples to the neighborhood, one thing that I know across the board everybody loves is brunch. And you guys have bubbles in brunch. So, what does that entail? And what are some of the options at brunch?
So brunch is really popular, especially when the weather's nice and we have this beautiful portico that's opened up and everybody wants to sit outside. So that's kind of, it gives you that vacation vibe for sure without having to drive to the shore or drive to a destination. You can just kind of walk over. So brunch is my favorite brunch option for me is the egg in the hole. Because I remember it's kind of like, it's kind of nostalgic for me. My mom definitely used to make an egg. scramble, you put the crack the egg and then put the bread over it. And so we have this beautiful egg in a hole on brioche toast. And then it has some smoked salmon, some creme fraiche, onions and tomatoes. So it gives me that nice the bread and the smoked salmon and the egg yolk. And it's just all like creamy and delicious. I love that. We'll do more traditional egg dishes. Let me see. We have French toast, shakshuka, and people love that. That's really, I always hear people comment on how delicious it is here.
Shakshuka is almost like a brunch staple, and people go crazy for it. I know I love it, but I'm not one who loves the uncooked yolk. So sometimes I get looks of like, you want me to cook the entire egg? And I'm like, yes, because I cannot stand the taste of yolk.
But it's really good here. Then you wouldn't like the egg in the hole either.
Oh no, actually it's really funny. I love and actually I know it by Eggy in a Basket, but the British version of, well, I mean it's the same thing. But I make it at home and I'll break the yolk so that it fully
It
cooks.
cooks. So we have my favorite new addition to the brunch menu, though. It's called mushroom toast. And we work a lot with the Kennett Square mushrooms because of it's in our gnocchi, but it's grilled ciabatta with Kennett Square mushrooms that are sautéed, marinated eggplant spread, a pickled onion, and a poached egg. And it's divine. It's really, really good. It's kind of like the way you make an avocado toast, but instead it's smeared with the eggplant and then topped with the sautéed mushrooms and then the poached egg on top. And it's really delicious. But at brunch, you can also get all of our pastas. You can get sandwiches like a chicken cutlet or an Italiano sandwich. You can get our salads or pizzas. So, and then things like breakfast sausage and a fresh fruit cup, and then breakfast, crispy potatoes, that type of thing. So great. It isn't, people call a lot and they say, do you have a brunch spread? But it is a combination of breakfast and lunch items.
I have to, because you mentioned the crispy potatoes, I have to mention them because people have the hash browns that are almost riced version of potatoes. And I don't like that. Like, I like it when it's like big chunks of potatoes that got that brown because they seared it so nicely. Or it roasted so nicely with lots of flavor. And that to me is the side dish of home fries. And I know that you guys execute it in that way.
Yeah, it's a quartered potatoes and then it's crisped up. They're
Yeah,
delicious.
absolutely delicious. Sorry, I had to give a notation of that just because not everybody does that. So I don't mean to like be myopic on the potatoes,
Yeah, but
but
they're on all of our menus because that's a side dish even at dinner time. Very popular, and it comes with a garlic aioli, so they're delicious.
now, for anybody who, because we're running out of time really fast, for anybody who is interested in visiting and grabbing a seat at the bar to start their tradition in the neighborhood or to have make reservations or to contact you guys for private events, where can they go to find you online and in person?
So fearlessrestaurants.com, and then you could click on Rosalie. I believe if you Google Rosalie, you probably just there's a Rosalie website, but Fearless Restaurants. And then we are in the Wayne Hotel. So as far as events, there's also a drop down on the website. Our event coordinator, if you called the restaurant, we could get you in touch with our event coordinator, Casey Kyler, and she takes care of all events, Rosalie. There's a whole team for the company. So, I mean, if you called the restaurant, the hostess will surely get you in touch or you can go onto the website.
All right. Tracy, thank you so much for joining me on Food Farms and Chefs.
Yeah, it was a delight. Thank you so much. We could talk all day.
All right. Yes, we could. All right. And stay tuned until after the short break.
To become a sponsor of Food Farms and Chefs and have your business or event promoted on a station in New York on Fridays at 1 p.m., you can email us at foodfarmsandchefs@yahoo.com or arpolicus@gmail.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Food Farms and Chefs. And I'm very happy to have Claudia Molina, who is the owner of Rooster's Coffee House, joining me on the show today. So, Claudia, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for the invitation. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy that you were able to join. And you had said that your daughter actually had joined us prior. So thank you because you guys are a family-owned business and family-run.
That's correct, yes.
So how did you actually get into all of this? Because the culinary industry, everybody has a story and their history to share. So what was your route into owning Rooster's Coffee House?
Absolutely. Our family is always looking to connect with the community all the time. So when this opportunity came across and we saw the place, we fell in love. It was an attorney's office before. So we fell in love with the place and we decided to make a very cool place where connections can happen, nice conversations, and having like a third place for the community and the people that go and enjoy Roosters.
Yes, and also get recharged for their day because I don't know about you, but I most certainly do not have childlike energy, so I survive off of coffee.
That's correct. That not only happens to you, happens to everyone.
I know. I wish I didn't rely so heavily on coffee, but it's like something that's synonymous with me. But if you see me outside of having to attend an event or as a photographer, you will otherwise see me holding a coffee cup.
That may cause a lot of offs together.
Yes, I could share a cup of Joe with you. But I feel like it's not a cup called a cup of Joe at your establishment. You have different names for all of your menu items, and it's all a play off of Roosters.
You know, it was a place, and it is a place where we try to be very different, very unique. And it's not only the coffee, but the vibes at the coffee shop is very addictive, I will say. So everybody who goes there, they love to go there because, you know, we have a welcoming team that they always are smiling and making you feel at home. So that is one of our strongest point in Roosters.
Is to make people feel like they're at home. And
Yes.
yeah, and I know that sustainability is also something that goes hand in hand with you what you guys offer, because it means a lot to your family to create a.
It does. It does, and I tell you why. My youngest daughter, she's an environmental engineer. Okay. So when we saw the place, she was like, "Mom, why don't you create a sustainable store in the back?" And I said, "Wow, I love the idea." And that's what we did. And nowadays, it is one of the, a lot of people love Rooster because of the sustainability idea and try to make people into it. So.
Okay, so I have a question because one of the things that I keep coming across when I search for your name and when I come across your socials is it's obviously a coffee house and in a place where you can get really amazing breakfast sandwiches, just sandwiches in general, and kind of do a grab and go, but it also has a tag of refillery on it. So what is the refillery part?
Absolutely. Roosters is a big place. Some people they don't realize how big it is. So in the back of the coffee house there is a store where we have these glass jars where you can refill rice, lentils, grains, and a lot of things that you can just refill. You buy and pay by the weight. You don't buy the whole bag. You just, if you want just half a pound of lentils, organic lentils, then you can buy it there and you can take it home. So that's the refillery part.
Okay, because I knew that it could go so many different ways, and I really was like, I don't see it defined on your site, so I was just like, I need to ask about that because, especially in this day and age where think the prices for everything are so much, and sometimes you don't need a whole entire bag of lentils. Sometimes you just want to grab the lentils that you need for dinner that night.
That's correct. Yes, that's exactly right. And that's the whole idea of the sustainability and zero waste, that you're buying what you need.
Yeah, and that matters. Now, as far as your actual the coffee house and or cafe, if you will, is concerned, do you implement, because I see there's a lot of wood and there's an old truck that's up there. Is that all repurposed things?
Everything, it's very nice to go there because part of the woodwork, for example, it came from an old house that was being demolished. Okay, so what happened that what my husband was driving by and saw all this old wood and asked, how much it was, and they say, no, it's garbage. So he took the whole thing. And it was a lot, and he converted in countertops. He converted in frames for the wind from some windows. So it's very nice. So we recycle a lot. And the truck was something that we saw in an antique fair in Massachusetts, and it was just amazing. And we say, you know what? That could be an iconic point on Roosters. So when you open the door at Roosters, the lights goes on. So I think it's very nice, very cute. So that's one of the things that we put in the shop. Yes.
That is very cute. And you're really incorporating not only the concept of sustainability into obviously the back end behind where you have the refillery, you also are incorporating it into the actual atmosphere of the coffee house.
That's correct. And we also love artists. So we have a mural that it was painted by a good friend of mine, and she painted. And we have a lot of paints that are coming from one local artist around Roosters. So that's another thing that we love. And we try. That's why I told you from the beginning that our main objective was making Rooster as a community hub, like a community center, so people can go, enjoy music, enjoy different things over there.
And so, what else do you incorporate? Because it's never just businesses, I want to say, businesses like your own, where it means that much to you to really kind of fold the community into it matters. And obviously, you're going to be posting, like you said, live music and artists. So, what are some of the other things that you guys do in order to support the surrounding community?
Oh, I will tell you, we have a couple of things that we love. We are a family that we are very grateful for everything that we that you know every time, every day of the life, we are very grateful. So we have a gratitude board on the shop where you can write why are you grateful for, okay? And what we do is once the gratitude board is full, because it gets full really quick, so I take a picture and I reprint it, the big board. So we put several gratitude boards on the shop, and then we clean the new one for new people coming in and fill it out. That's one thing. The other thing that we love is the pay it forward, okay? So that is like a spreading kindness between the community. So if somebody wants to donate a cup of coffee for a police officer or for a fireman or for a senior citizen or a single mom or just a person that is having a bad day, they can stick the money to the board. And when these persons want to claim the money and just pay with it, they can do it. So it's a way like we trying to incorporate that we can help each other within the community.
I love that. And do you ever host events to support the community as well?
We did, yes, and we're planning to do more. For example, this coming Saturday, May 10th, we're gonna have Save the Saddles. They are a pet adoption. So they did the same event last year, and they were able to adopt to give 7 dogs in adoption. So we are having the same event this coming Saturday. And last year we host a, what was the name? It was like a small business market. So we have like five vendors or five small businesses putting like in a small table, and they were selling their things, and we don't charge. It's just for the community, for supporting the small business somehow. And it was very successful, and it was looking very pretty when we did it last year. So we're gonna do it this year as well.
Do you have an estimated time frame where you're going to try to do that?
We normally wait for, I think it's going to be between June and July. We wait for the weather to be nice so they can be outside and doing it. But yes, we love doing those kind of things.
Yeah, I love those kind of things too. And pop-up markets is kind of what you're describing in your store. So that again, it's a huge support system for the community, especially if somebody is a startup vendor and they don't have a brick and mortar or even truck or something small to vend out of. It's businesses like your own that create those spaces for other entrepreneurs to blossom. So I love that you're doing that.
Thank you so much. And the last part that I want to mention is that we roast our own coffee in-house.
I'll be there immediately because I need to pick up some more coffee at my house.
I want to tell you just a quick story. We start with in a small roaster coffee machine that it was only we were able to roast only 800 grams a batch, okay? And the demand for coffee that roasters has is unbelievable. So at the beginning, my husband was roasting coffee 4 hours a day in order to supply the demand that we were having, because at the beginning we didn't know, we're gonna have that demand. So thanks to Rooster, we were able to get a bigger machine. So now we roast 12 kilograms once a week. So now we're roasting just once a week.
Which is good. And I remember your daughter having explained that too, just way like it was a while ago, but I'm glad that you're joining and re-explaining that because I know that she described the painstaking process that he went through in order to create that perfect flavor
That
profile.
was insane. Yeah, that was insane. But here we are, and we're doing a lot better now.
But hey, more power to you guys. And the fact that you are so supportive of the community is even better. So let's jump into a little bit about the fact that you have also not just that you roast your own coffees, but you brew them too, and you create coffee flights, which is one of my new favorite things.
I know. It's been something that it comes, I think we are inspired more with the community and the kids that they love to enjoy different things that we do. So we are always creating something new for all the clients to come and enjoy different things, new things and fun things. It's one of the principal reasons that we do things like that, because you can have fun and do something different and unique. So that's what we're looking for all the time.
Yes. And I know that you have more than, okay, because I've been to recently, actually, I want to say 2 months ago, I went to a coffee house and they had a coffee flight. And I've seen other coffee houses have coffee flights, but it's not very often that they do it. And so when I saw that you have not only coffee flight, you have options of different coffee flights. Like,
That's great.
and for the kids, because you mentioned the kids, you even have like a flight for the kids too. So it's not coffee, it's something else. But I love that you did that. Because that
And
could.
I tell you what I love more. You have to see those kids' faces when they receive it. They are like, wow. And sometimes I have parents that they are telling me that they are playing very good in soccer, but they want because they want to win, so they can be taken to Rooster, so they can have a flight, or they can have an s'mores mocha. So yes,
That's
we try to make it fun.
good incentive.
It is. Tell me about it. It is.
So I, as a avid coffee drinker, I applaud you and I thank you for creating different plates. And I'm sure that you probably changed the different flavor profiles, but currently, what are some of the options that you can have? Because I know there's like cortado and there's lattes, there's flat whites, there's all different versions of espressos to choose from. So what are some of your let's say more liked or different options for coffees and even sandwiches or breakfast items?
Absolutely. And talking about coffee, I will say the caramel haystack. Caramel haystack is a name that we came out with to an original drink, a crafted drink, I will say. It is a caramel latte with whipped cream, caramel syrup on top, and then we put a toast marshmallow on top. So everybody loves it. It's very delicious. The other one is the pistachio, the green pistachio. We don't use pistachio syrup. We use a pistachio sauce that we bring from Italy. So it's kind of expensive, but everybody loves it. And we are always looking for high quality drinks and high quality food. So we don't play with that. So the pistachio is one of the famous one. And in food, I will say all the avocado toast in the versions that we have. And the last addition to the menu has been a hit with this, which is the Taylor Hemmer and cheese croissant. So everybody's ordering all the time. So it's been very good.
It is such a Jersey staple to have. Well, for the North Jersey area, it's Taylor Ham.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's definitely a favorite of everyone's is when you use that, and I you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with a well-executed breakfast sandwich.
That's correct, yes. And when we bring something to the menu, it's because we've been testing it for, I will say, for like 2 or 3 weeks before we put something on the menu. We want to make sure the amount of Taylor ham is perfect with the cheese, because you don't want something that is too cheesy, or maybe it has a lot of Taylor ham and it doesn't. Like, I don't know, it got to complement the whole thing, and so it tastes well. So we normally take like around 3 weeks before we put something on the menu. So it is really good. I love it.
Do you have test demos like where there's just certain people like where you're like, I created this new thing, so tell me what you think.
Absolutely, of course. Every time we cut pieces and we give taste, and I ask for the feedback. And even with the coffee, sometimes, for example, for St. Patrick's, we have a wake up latte, which is a cream that we create. Roosters is like an ice cream. So I feel when I tasted it, I feel like it was too strong. So I have to give it out for testing around customers, and they were telling me if it was too strong or if they love it or whatever. So in that way, we can go to the right recipe for something that is smooth and nice and well balanced.
And I want to say that if I visited, I 100% would get probably a flat white. And I know that you have all different kinds of milk alternatives. So one of my joys is to get either oat milk or soy. And I believe you also have coconut milk.
We do have coconut milk. We don't have soy milk. We
Okay.
have oat milk, we have almond milk, and we have coconut milk.
See, there you go. A bunch of different alternative milks to choose from. So I'd probably go with the oat milk with you guys. And I would 100% get one of the Taylor ham cheese on a croissant and egg and just live my life in a happy
Delicious.
place.
Delicious.
Yes, exactly. So for anybody else looking to enjoy any number of your menu items, and also your refillery, where can they find you online and in person?
Absolutely. Online, we are at www.roosterscoffeehouse.com. The website, we are working on getting a new website coming soon, but they can go there. All the information is there. The menu is there as well. And in social media, we have Instagram at roosterscoffeehouse.com. And in Facebook, we are at Roosters Coffee House too.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me on Food Farms and Chefs, Claudia.
Thank you, Amaris. Thank you so much for the invitation. We really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
No problem. And hopefully I'll be able to get up to see you guys soon.
Absolutely. You got to let me know so I can be there for you.
Yes. All right. And on that note, stay tuned until after this short break.
Join us on Food Farms and Chefs radio show, where we highlight everyone from top industry leaders to startups and the farmers who make it all possible with Amaris Pollock, with original episodes that debut every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
The following segment was previously recorded.
Hi, and welcome back to Food Farms and Chefs. I am very excited to introduce all of you to a very happy farmer, Sue Miller, who is the owner and one of the farmers behind Birch Run Hills Farm. Sue, welcome to Food Farms and Chefs.
It's so great to be here. I mean, three of my favorite topics.
Right? You are one of the farmers. So yes. You are part of our name, but let our listeners know, because I don't know if you originally grew up in the farming industry, but how did you and your families get involved in this?
Yeah, that is a really good question. Both really, my husband and I would be considered first generation farmers. I didn't grow up on a dairy farm. My mother grew up in New Jersey and my father in Chester. And I think that they kind of fancied themselves as back to the landers. They moved out onto a dirt road out in Chester County. And as I was growing up, we were in 4-H and we had sheep and we had pigs and we had chickens and I had a pony. And as I grew up, I just loved animals. And then I met my husband, Ken, who is a dairy farmer. His father was a school teacher and his grandfather had been a dairy farmer, but had sold the cows when he was about 8 years old. So the farm hadn't had dairy cows on it until he had decided to start milking a herd of cows, because all he ever wanted to do was to be a farmer, which is pretty cool. And then I met him and I fell in love with the cows. He wasn't bad either. And it just seemed to be a match made in heaven. As my mother always says, she's like, it's the life you were meant to live, which I think is like the perfect thing. Because if you don't love the dairy industry and milking cows, it would be a really challenging way to earn a living. You know, it's 7 days a week, late at night. It's kind of like the restaurant world. Oftentimes you're working when everybody else is having a picnic or whatever. So it really is a labor of love. And our family has just rallied around.
And I believe you and your husband have two sons and they also help out at the farm as well.
Yeah, they both went away to college to study animal science with a concentration in dairy, and at different times of their college career came back to ask us to be part of Birch Run Hills Farm. We knew that they would be in agriculture because that's really where their heart was. We didn't realize that they'd want to come back and work with us, but it really is because of the cheese and the value added that they felt there was an opportunity to grow what we were doing, work with the animals, work with the land, and create food to hand right to our customers and our neighbors and people in our community. So that's pretty magical.
Yeah, it is magical. Now, I know that Jean is probably chomping at the bit because I love cheese, but Jean loves cheese at a different level than I do.
Yeah, I mean, listen, anytime you can meal in any way, I'm happy with that. So whether it's butter, whether it's cheese, whether it's dairy, you know, I'm one of them believers that if milk is good, heavy cream is better kind of thing. But I particularly love your products. I know your products. I've had your products many times. And I love the local cheese business in this area, whether it's in Pennington, New Jersey, or down in Chester County, or even here in Newtown. In Bucks County, there's so many great cheese producers that are making fabulous products. And, you know, you're right up there. But the particular part is that, you know, you're producing cow's milk cheeses, which happen to be my favorites.
So glad to hear that.
And, you know, I mean, people talk about doing cheese plates and, you know, they do a lot of things. And I always, okay, if you're going to do that, we do need to, you know, educate people on what the difference is. So for me, when I do a cheese plate that I'm going to do a tasting with, I like to have, you know, a little sheep, a little goat, a little cow. You know, I like to have that for people to try. But, you know, your cheeses are just amazing. And then one of the other things that you do and that, you know, you and I know there's a place up in Pennington that I have gone to many times. You produce great wash rind cheeses that, you know, have that wonderful flavor, that great scent to them, that you know, almost stinky cheese as people refer to it, but, you know, the, you know, dirty socks, whatever you want to call it. Well, you get past that and you'll get flavor profiles that you can never even imagine. A little bit about how you came about or how you came to be able to produce such great cheeses, but you didn't have really a background in cheese making.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it really comes down to the cows. You know, we're producing this beautiful milk with an amazing component structure that is just perfect for cheese making. And, you know, what the cows are eating, how they're cared for genetically, how we've been breeding them for generations in the dairy herd has contributed to this. But our very first cheese that we made was the Birch Run Blue. And honestly, that was a rookie mistake. I made that cheese because I love blue cheese so much. It is one of the most challenging styles of cheese to make. There's, you know, all cheese can be challenging to make, but blue is particularly temperamental. And I always say all the gray hair that came on my head came from that blue cheese. But we've gotten to know each other really well, the Birch Run Blue and I, and have worked that out. We just, in our family, love, you know, big, flavorful cheeses. And starting with that blue, then we went on to make an Alpine style cheese called Equinox. But Fat Cat was developed from a mistake in making the blue. And that has this like tangy tartness with a bit of barnyard funk to it. And from that Fat Cat, we developed the Red Cat, which is our washed rind cheese. The one that when you smell that aroma of dirty socks, I think, oh, perfection, right? It's rich, it's meaty, it's brothy. It really brings the complex tasting notes to the palate. And it's just so fun to have, especially this time of year. This time of year, it's so unctuous because the butter fat is really high in the milk from the cows being on more of a dry feed diet. So this is a time for those stinky cheeses to really shine from Bertrand Hills Farm. And I'm so glad that you love them.
I absolutely adore them. One of the things I find truly unique about that too, is that, you know, for me to go in as a business, you know, a lot of times with wash rinds and with cheeses like that, I can't necessarily say, well, you know, tomorrow or, you know, 2 weeks from now, I'm going to need X amount of it because it's a process to get it perfect. And it does it. It's not necessarily ready just when you think it's going to be ready. It's not going to be, well, I started it today and in 21 days it's ready. It's not that. It's love and it's nature and it's so much goes into it. But, you know, you have to be patient. And like any great thing in life, if you're patient, it gets better.
It's so true. Cheese making is a lesson in patience, you know, because it takes a long time to really understand the milk through the seasons and the lactation curve of the cows. The environment has so much influence on the cheese making, A, from the feed standpoint, and just with the raw ingredient of the milk, but also down in the aging rooms. You know, when we're having a really dry summer, it alters everything down there. So we have to be nimble and know what to expect. And I don't know, adjust, whether it's in the vat, whether it's in the aging room, and make some decisions about when this cheese is ready to bring out. And really, isn't that the beauty of any craft, is just honing those skills? I'll spend my lifetime doing that. And I find it really exciting.
And that truly is what makes, you know, cheese so special. So, you know, so perfect. And buying from a farm, obviously we get Birch Run at many different places, but, you know, being able to go out locally and get it, you're getting right the freshest, the best, you know, when it's absolute perfection, not something that now sat in a shelf for a couple of weeks or whatever like that. And, you know, it's such an incredible product. And, you know, whether you're going to choose to cook with it or just enjoy it as is, which is with a great bottle of wine, you know, it's absolutely fabulous. And you guys do really produce incredible products.
Oh, thank you so much. That means so much to me to hear. It's exciting for us because, you know, everybody on the farm here is working behind the scenes. You know, my husband's working to grow the feed for the cows. My oldest son is managing the dairy herd. My other son, Jesse, he's out in front of the consumer at the farmers markets and working with me, but you can find him on a tractor. So I'm always trying to carry this message to them. Like, all your hard work is so well appreciated. So thanks for saying that, Gene.
Well, as I often remind people, you know, we need to thank farmers because without them, we would be sober, hungry, and naked. So, you know.
That's so true. That's so true.
So I want to jump in because you had mentioned the facility, which I know that you have underground. Is that unique for yourself in your farm? How did you come about like building that and, you know, creating that process?
Our aging facility is down under our make room here at Bertrand Hills Farm. It's not a traditional cave like you would find for, say, the Roquefort Caves or in France. We did not build a traditional cave. There are two in Pennsylvania, maybe three in Pennsylvania, but ours is just deep underground basement. And it's not totally cooled by the ground. We also do have some evaporative cooling in there to just kind of maintain the temperature during the summer months when it's so hot and dry. But it just seemed to make sense for us to, like, you know, be able to use our footprint efficiently. We're sort of bound by a road on two sides of where our cheesemaking facility is. So we just couldn't sprawl out and have more space. So we built that deep underground. It's 12 feet under, and that's where we're aging the cheeses. It's a long run of steps down there, I'll tell you. I feel like I'm on the Stairmaster every day, multiple times, the whole team. We're like the healthiest cheesemakers.
I was going to say, it's definitely an exercise program in addition to. Yes,
we always say we could run our own cheese CrossFit up here. Sounds fun, doesn't it?
Yeah. Now, I know that both Gene and I love different cheeses, a variety of them. I know when I've gone to markets and to stores, I've purchased numerous, you know, samples because I'm never happy with just one. I have to try them all, which is a nod to something that you guys do because you host events as well. And along with tastings of the different cheeses. And you pair it with a local winery as well. So can you talk a little bit more about that and, you know, what you offer and whether or not, you know, it's something where you work with somebody coming in to tour it?
Right. The guided tastings. That's one thing we do here on the farm. People can sign up for a small group of, you know, say 6 to 20 people, come out for a tasting. But every Friday night, we have an event here called the Cheesiest Happy Hour. So on Fridays from 4 to 8, my neighbor Sharon from Le Garage Winery, her winery is just up the hill from the farm, like not even 3/4 of a mile away. And she comes with these beautiful wines that she's making. She doesn't have a tasting room at her winery. It's a VW bus, a 1970 VW bus. So, hey, that really brings a vibe. She pulls in. People can hang out with a grazing board or select wedges of cheeses and build their own board. The cows are there for them to visit it with. We're here. They can look across the valley at ground fields that we've been farming for over 30 years. You know, the silos here, it's just peaceful. It's relaxing. You feel connected with nature. There's a real beautiful level of transparency that I feel people are really removed from the farm any day, you know, in these modern days. So it really makes a connection for people to come and see where their food's produced. And that is so meaningful to us to be able to share that. I have a elementary education degree, and I really love to teach and share what we do with others. So we always welcome people here on Fridays year round. Sometimes we'll be frying cheese curds if we made cheese curds that week. In the winter, we're making raclette. You just never know what you're going to get into out here.
Ooh, you just triggered me with the raclette.
Oh, yeah. Get a little bit of that stinky cheese happening on a baguette, and life is good.
Life is very good.
thinking of Bertrand cheese and beer pairing at my place, you know.
That would be wonderful. Yeah.
I love that. And amaze the Philadelphia, the German Society of Pennsylvania, right down there on Spring Garden Street.
You did the beer festival.
Oh my goodness. And it's just so great to be reminded all the time how fantastic beer pairs with cheese. And so does wine or tea.
It really does. And, you know, I, as we were talking, I was like, I might have to make a field trip and look at doing something and setting something up at our brewery here and doing that and doing a little tasting of all that. So
we'd love to partner with you. Bring some cheeses.
Now, we have a couple of minutes left. So why don't we a bit more about the farm? You know, you had mentioned that you were an elementary teacher before. Do you ever bring people on to learn more about the farm in the process?
Yeah, I work a lot with Ag Connect, which is a program here in Chester County, but it's for this the larger region of the state to bring students out to the farm a couple of times a year, because we want people to understand, young people to understand, that there are careers in agriculture. Cheese is an agricultural product. A lot of people don't think about that. You know, Jean mentioned that if we didn't have farmers, we wouldn't have anything to drink, eat, and wear. So I really love to be able to showcase that for young folks and students, and honestly talk about what we do on the farm with anybody who's interested. We're open to doing tours and just sharing that experience. There's such a great, a profound connection too, because you never know. You may have a kid that lives in Coatesville come out here and really be influenced. I've done some programming at Drexel with their food science department. And a couple of weeks ago, I had a student that I had there for a tasting I did about 5 years ago come out, and she's working in cheese. And I think it was because of, in part, the experience she had at Drexel. Nice. That's pretty great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is so important to show young student or young people where food comes from. I don't think many of them realize that, you know, farms and what they do and how to generate it, you know, and they think that, you know, well, the supermarket is where things come from. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, when you go out and get your hands in the dirt and do all that. Just a curiosity question of my own. Your two sons, were they Del Valle students?
For now.
Okay. Even better if it's possible to be that. Yes.
Yes. So. Well, I have to say that my youngest son used to love dairy cattle judging. He judged cows a lot at Del Valle. So we know the campus well, and we know the farm there pretty well. It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I attended. Yes. It's a beautiful place, but a long time ago looked a lot different than it does now.
Things change, don't they?
Well, speaking of things changing, unfortunately, we ran out of time. So the season, enjoy some of the cheeses and purchase some of your products at various locations.
Yeah, follow us on social media at Farm and jump on our website. But you can find our cheeses and specialty shops on the menu of restaurants in the region, but also at farmers markets like Head House Farmers Market, Fairmount Farmers Market on Thursdays, and out here all over the suburbs. So you can find that out from our website. We'd love to connect with you and come to the farm, come to the source and see us.
I would love that. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, and I think Jean hopped off, but tune in every single week for a new episode of Food Farms and Chefs. And Susan, thank you so much for joining us.